Logos appear. CBS Films. Polygram Entertainment, a Universal Music Group partner. Imagine Entertainment. Whitehorse Pictures. Diamond Docks. A boat floats along a wide river. Words appear. Amazon Jungle, Brazil, 1995.
We were in Brazil.
Flutist Andrea Griminelli.
The night before, Luciano sang for 200,000 people. It was an amazing concert in Buenos Aires. The next morning, we went up to the Amazon, into the jungle. Thankfully, I had my video camera. There was this theater in the middle of nowhere, and I realized this was a pilgrimage. And Luciano said, I want to sing on this stage where Caruso sang 100 years ago. You know, we had nothing organized. We arrived in front of the theater, and it was completely locked up. Nobody was there. We found somebody to open it.
A three-story building with ornate porticos and balconies.
And somebody came out and said, who is he? And he said, I am Luciano Pavarotti.
Luciano Pavarotti stands on a stage, his hands stuffed into his pockets. CBS Films, Polygram Entertainment, and Brian Grazer present. An Imagine Entertainment and Whitehorse Pictures production. In association with Diamond Dogs. A Ron Howard film.
From Amazonia with love.
Subtitles.
From the Amazon with love.
A title, Pavarotti. A golden sun hangs low over the ocean. On a porch, the bearded Luciano paints a canvas.
Luciano never had a plan in his mind. There was not somebody that planned things, you know. Things just happened. One day, we receive a video camera. So I was always there with this camera. And we shoot everything.
Luciano makes faces with something stuffed under his lip.
He really trusts people. He always thought that everybody had a good part, you know? He was so full of joy and so happy all the time.
He sings to a dancing rose. Nicoletta Mantovani.
Luciano was completely conscious of the fact that he received a great gift from God.
He shakes hands with Kofi Annan.
Not just in opera, but everything else in life.
He sings to a koala.
It gave him purpose.
He spreads his arms before a stadium crowd.
But it was also a burden.
He walks alone through a garden.
I always wanted to understand the reason why.
Come vorresti essere
Subtitles.
How would you like to be remembered in 100 years?
Luciano Pavarotti.
The positive part is that I'd like to be remembered as a man who took opera to the people. I'd like for people to say that I sang Favorita to Otello, that I have an incredibly wide repertoire. I'd like for people to say that I never pursued doing new opera, just for the sake of doing it. These are all positive things for a singer. Brave, because basically I was always criticized.
And what about Pavarotti, the men?
Luciano blinks thoughtfully, his gaze distant. Modena, Italy. Rocky hills and farmland, a dense ancient city.
Our profession is a very particular one. You don't become well known in a day. In this growing, you don't realize what is going to happen to you. You don't know who you are, really.
A photo of a teenage boy. Now, Germans in a trench.
I was born during the war, so I am carrying that. Always. But I was a very lucky boy, because I was raised in the most beautiful place. My father was a baker and a tenor. I was very lucky to have my father singing in the church.
Fernando Pavarotti sings.
Even for a little boy, by imitation, you always do what your father is doing, so he was my teacher.
A photo of father and son in the choral society.
It was a fantastic tenor voice. Phenomenal. Better than mine. And nobody believed, but he's like that.
Choral members at a train platform.
I was singing with my father and 50 more male voice. We went to this place in Wales to make a competition.
In black and white footage, the men wave from a departing train.
1955, you won first prize in Wales.
Yes, that was one of the most important and unforgettable days of my life. I'm sharing this with all my friends and with my father.
Luciano, as a young man, sits on a lion sculpture.
At that time, I was a teacher for elementary school. My father, he says, listen, now you study, you go to the city, and you become professor. Because my father did not succeed. He's a tenor. He knows how difficult it is, even with a beautiful voice.
Fernando loads bread into an oven.
And they say, okay, if you say so, I will do that. My mother says,
Adele Pavarotti.
No, I think when I hear my son sing, I have something in my heart too. I say, Mama, you say that because you are my mother. Come on. She says, No. No, because I don't say that when I hear your father. She make me do exactly what I want. And I think for what I was born to do.
A young bearded Luciano smiles.
So in 1955, I begin to study. And 6 years after, I made my debut in 1961.
La Bohème, a story of young artists on the edge of poverty who experience love and loss in Paris. Pavarotti on an interview program.
So how did you get your first part in an opera?
I won a competition, and the prize of the competition was to sing on the stage with an orchestra, with a conductor, with the entire performance. And my debut was 29th of April, 1961. And I was playing Rodolphe in Bohème.
La Bohème, yeah.
It was not a sensational night, but I think everybody was very pleased, especially my mother.
A live recording of La Bohème, September 29th, 1961. Opera super titles.
Your hand is so cold, let me warm it. What is the use of searching? In the dark, we will never find it.
Subtitles for Ottawa Veroni.
We met at a private party at one of my schoolmates' houses. In Modena at that time, there were many aspiring singers. I understand that had he not become a singer, it would have been a great disappointment to him.
For their place has been taken by hope. Now now that you know all about me.
Mi sono innamorata dell'uomo. Premetto.
I fell in love with the man. He was a very handsome man. And then I fell in love with his voice. I mean, who wouldn't fall in love with the voice of Pavarotti?
Tell me who you are. Please do.
In a photo, Luciano and three cast members hold hands in front of the stage curtain.
The 29th of April, 1961, a young elementary school teacher went on the stage and he became a tenor.
A photo with Ottawa.
And they fall in love.
The young couple sits on a balcony. They stand together under a tree. Ottawa poses with a car.
We did live together a couple of months. Really like Bohemian. I remember that we have the room one in front of the other, and the bathroom was there for everybody.
Ottawa.
There was a need for money. We had nothing when we got married.
Wedding guests throw rice.
His love, his passion is very beautiful, it's casual, it's everything poetic and romantic and positive in life. And desperate because there is dead is there.
At a reception, the couple sips champagne.
Quando lui ha debuttato, abbiamo avuto.
After his first debut, we had three daughters in 4 years and 7 months. With the money he had earned, he had to pay back a loan to his father. So there was absolutely nothing left. So I would say the one who earned money those first years was me.
Red double-decker buses roll over a bridge.
London is an incredible city, and Covent Garden is my first important international theater. I sang there in 1963 with great success.
Royal Opera House Covent Garden, La Boheme.
Covent Garden was making 10 performances of Boheme. Performances with Mr. Di Stefano, who is one of the greatest tenors of all time. But then when he's arriving, he was very sick and is canceling the performance. And I am singing in his place. And the news is incredible because young tenor who substitute Di Stefano. The word is Di Stefano. But doesn't matter because the young tenor was me.
The performers bow, Luciano smiling at the soprano.
Finally, I'm reaching that point in which you are able to deal with the stage. It's still difficult, but you made it. So I made it.
In photos, Luciano smiles as he signs autographs and meets fans. Tenor Placido Domingo.
It was very early in my career. I was going to make my debut in Vienna in 67. And I have been reading about this new superstar that was singing with John Sutherland in a tour.
Going to Australia with John, first of all, I learned to be a very serious professional singer. And from her particularly, I learned to breathe, which is the most simple thing, but the most difficult.
What did you learn? How could you tell what was going on inside?
Well, by singing the duet, I tried to touch her to see how she was doing, and
what did you feel? Could you feel the air?
I saw the muscle of the diaphragm that she used and how firm the muscle was before she attacked any kind of notes. More than everything, I think the technique is perfect. I think it's probably the most incredible technique of all the time, I would like to say.
I depart.
Farewell.
Remember, heaven has joined us.
Soprano Angela Giorgiou.
I think Luciano has one of the most ideal voice ever born on this earth, at least for a tenor.
Soprano Carol Vaness.
Luciano's voice always went right to my heart. It was just one of the clearest, most pure, most emotional, passionate, beautiful, everything. It's just heaven on earth, truly.
In performance, Luciano reels and clutches his chest.
it's very important to make people understand that a soprano and a baritone, they are the most natural voices. Men, they're naturally baritones. But to become a tenor, that's another thing. It's more unnatural.
Tenor Vittorio Grigolo.
Questa è la mia voce. Ma questa è la mia voce.
Subtitles.
This is my voice. So it's constructed. It's not natural. However, what is the beauty of a great tenor? The tenor makes you feel the voice is natural when instead it's constructed.
Angela Giorgiou.
If you want to become Luciano Pavarotti, you must have the high C. That's the most important thing. You can have a beautiful, nice life of the tenor, but if you don't have a high C, no big tenor.
Placido Domingo.
When I was listening to Luciano, you know, he was just opening his mouth and here it goes, everything. Everything was easy.
Vittorio Grigolo.
You say, how beautiful. It seems like, oh, he makes no effort. And yet, how much hard work is behind it? How much studying? How much sweat and toil? That is the beauty.
A poster for La Fille de Regimont requires of the tenor no fewer than 9 high Cs.
When he was singing La Fille de Regimont, that was the opera that made him famous.
Soprano Madeleine René.
His famous, you know, 9 high Cs in La Fille du Régiment, La Fille du Régiment, that's, you know, opera history.
Opera super titles.
For my soul, what destiny. I have her love and I have her hand.
Carol Vanesse.
I felt like I could see his voice. It was super clear, like a photograph. You can count molecules, practically. It's so clear.
Zubin Mehta.
A tenor singing a high C makes your ears vibrate. There's such tension of sound. My ears will ring.
Luciano appears on the cover of Opera News.
We all dream to be the most important in the operatic world. Luciano was the one and only, yes.
Headlines fill the screen. Tenor Placido Domingo.
Luciano was singing in all the theaters, Covent Garden, Vienna, La Scala, and Metropolitan, and many other theaters all around the world.
Zubin Mehta.
All his recordings became quite legendary. He was labeled by Decca as the king of the high seas.
The jump of the horse who can jump is not difficult if he reach the obstacle, the right moment, in the right balance. And it's the same singing, the top. Top is not difficult if you arrive there prepared to make the top.
Can you be absolutely sure that you, if you've prepared properly, can you be sure you'll hit the note?
No, that is the beauty of my profession.
Placido Domingo.
I always say that voice in Spanish is feminine, is la voz. Also in Italian, la voce, in French, la voix. So I believe that to live with the voice, she's like a very, very jealous and demanding woman.
I know I cannot do anything without her, without the voice.
You live with it, and you have to realize that everything affects it. Good news, bad news, something that it is emotional, physically, we react.
These muscles, you never know if they respond to you immediately. She is the prima donna of my body.
One day is better than another one. Like in any relationship, you have to know the person very well in order to really treat somebody that you love so much in the best way. So that's the voice, you know, she's a lady.
Luciano and Ottawa enjoy beach visits with their young children. The family of 5 poses by the ocean. 3 kids ride on Luciano's back like a horsey. In more photos, children play dress up and dad pulls the kids in a small covered wagon. Daughter Lorenza Pavarotti.
Il primo ricordo.
My first memory, the first thing that comes to mind from when I was a child was an essay that I wrote when I was about 8 years old. The title was, What Does Your Father Do? Tell Us About Your Father. And this is how I started. It's ugly to say this, but my father is a crook. He's a thief because of the fact that he goes to work at night. Also, that he used to go around with a suitcase of fake mustaches and fake beards could mean only that one thing.
Daughter Giuliana Pavarotti.
I absolutely love these costumes, as all children would. They were like costumes of disguise.
Luciano and his daughters wear costumes and fake beards. Lorenza.
I knew he had a parallel life, which was his artistic life. He lived his characters, the characters he portrayed. It was his second life. It was visible, and it is difficult for a child to see this.
Luciano, in character, embraces a woman on stage.
The opera is love, hate, that it is very important. With a little makeup, you can become another person. The opera is something fake. That little by little on the stage, it becomes true.
Daughter Cristina Pavarotti.
My mother would constantly tell us about what our father used to do. She would try and tell us the stories, the plots of the operas, to involve us.
Tosca, a melodrama depicting torture, murder, and suicide. A story where no character survives to the end, not even the hero. Cristina.
I remember that he would scare me, because I was suffering with him when I watched him. For instance, in Tosca, where he comes out full of blood.
Giuliana.
That was the first opera that I remember because he dies, as he did often in the operas.
On stage, Luciano's character faces a firing squad. He collapses to the stage, and the curtains close.
After the curtains closed, in the silence, I yelled, "Papa!" That was my debut in the theater.
In front of the curtain, Luciano and his soprano co-star stand before the audience. Each holds a red rose. Pavarotti on an interview program.
I understand you carry, of all things, in your pocket, a bent nail.
A bent nail, yes. It's a superstition, and all the artists, I think, have one. Like in English says, touch wood. In Italy, we say touch iron, and we have a bent nail with iron. It's double good luck.
Are you a devout Catholic?
I think so, very deeply, but let's say that even being Catholic, I am still superstitious, just in case.
Washington Post opera critic Anne Majette.
I think there's no question Luciano was, at heart, a simple person. He called himself a peasant. I think one of the reasons that the role of Nemorino in La Lizard Amore was such a natural fit is that he was a bit of a bumpkin.
Giuliana.
My father had a lot of fun singing L'Elisir d'Amore, partly because it was one of the few operas where he didn't die. So therefore, this made his soul a little lighter. And partly because he was also a very joyful and naive character. And he perceived himself to be naive in some way, too.
On stage.
Oh, delicious.
Oh, caro.
Oh, dear.
Un altro sorso.
Another sip.
Manager Terry Robson.
He had thousands of fans around the world. People were queuing around the block for tickets they'd kill for them.
Ottawa.
When he was getting more famous, there were letters that arrived from all over the world, even the most remote parts. And I have to say, I responded to them all. Also, I had to keep the relationships with the Italian theaters and also with his manager from New York, Herbert Breslin.
Manager, 1967 to 2003, Herbert Breslin.
Somebody from the record company said to Luciano, you're such a nice guy. What you need is a real
air quotes
bastard to work for you. That's how we started.
In a photo, Luciano puts an arm around Herbert. In another, they cross a tarmac. And the jet.
Herbert Breslin had a reputation as being one of the most hated people in the opera business. I had never heard anything good about Herbert Breslin before I worked for him.
Luciano rubs Breslin's balding head.
What happened with Luciano Pavarotti and myself was a unity of purpose. He wanted it, and I wanted it, because as his reputation was being made, my reputation was being made.
The men laugh and chat with others at events.
Herbert would also tell you that he generated a number of the sort of popularizing ideas that helped make Luciano what he became.
He'd never done a concert before. He'd never done a recital before. I opened up the gates of music to him.
Liberty, Missouri, 1973.
My manager sent me out to Liberty, Missouri by myself to make a recital.
He steps onto a small stage with a pianist. Pianist and conductor Eugene Cohn.
In opera, you've got the benefit of a costume and makeup, and you become another character during those 3 hours, whereas in a recital, you're yourself.
Luciano gestures to the pianist.
It's only his voice.
If I were that warrior, if my dream came true,
you're totally exposed. You're almost naked because you can't hide behind anything.
Luciano said, oh my God, what am I going to do with my hands? His manager said to him, take that handkerchief that's in your pocket and hold it in your hands.
My manager said, if you don't like it, don't do it. And I say, I don't like, I adore it.
With a blissful smile, he spreads his arms wide.
We started doing recitals in rural America, places that don't have opera houses.
A dirt road leads to a valley town, Cripple Creek. Cars drive past a roadside motel and a fish joint.
It's a certain way to give back what God gave to me. Is not to make myself popular, is to make the world of the opera popular.
A road sign, illegal to shoot on highway.
He liked to go to the buffets in the hotels, and we would each fill up two or three times and pig out on American food, mac and cheese and very non-Italian stuff.
New York City.
What I was able to provide him, but was the dynamic of making a star.
Welcome to an historic event. The first live telecast of an opera from the new Metropolitan Opera House in Lincoln Center. Tonight's opera is La Boheme, The Bohemian.
The Met's Joseph Volpe.
Luciano made his debut at the Met, November of 68. And it became his artistic home. So I think I had a very close relationship with him for about 20 years.
With Tony Randall.
I don't think they've ever seen you, most of them, on television like this.
Well, on television like that, I think was never made. It's the first time, is not? It's not,
yes.
The first time. And
have you done television opera in Europe?
Not live. In studio, yes. But live, it is the first time. It is a new experience for me.
Uh-huh.
And don't ask me if I am happy, because I am never happy. And
I'll ask you if you're happy. Are you
I
happy?
I am not.
You're not
never,
happy.
Never happy.
Never happy.
Never happy. Wow. I always think I can do better than I do.
He was a nervous wreck before every performance.
Joseph Volpe.
He would always say, I go to die.
Backstage.
We go to die.
And he would always end up living after the performance.
Stage curtains part. Luciano steps out. He nods and gestures toward the audience. He clasps his hands and nods.
You could see the public was absolutely taking to this man.
Confetti rains down during an ovation.
Because of his smile, because of his artistry, and because of his personality. They couldn't get enough of him.
Good morning from Chicago, where I am pleased to introduce to a very excited audience, Luciano Pavarotti.
A cooking segment on the Phil Donahue Show.
Luciano, you know, loved pasta.
Joseph Volpe.
He'd come to our apartment for dinner, and he'd want to cook.
Garlic, slice.
All that?
Yes. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. Olive oil.
Red pepper. You're serious now.
I'm very serious.
All right.
You will cry later, probably, when you taste.
When he was in New York, he would always cook this spicy spaghetti for me. He didn't like Indian food too much.
Mm. Mr. Pavarotti, on the road, you like to have a hotel room with a...
Luciano takes a mouthful of spaghetti.
With a kitchen, isn't that right?
And the jet.
It's pretty common, I think, for big international stars to try to take their home with them because you're just always in a hotel room.
Lui era legatissimo.
Flutist Andrea Griminelli.
He loved the food of Modena. In fact, when he was on tour in the USA, he would often call me the night before I left and would say, tomorrow, bring a suitcase full of 2 kilos of tortellini, 5 kilos of Parmesan cheese, 2 prosciutti, and I would fill an empty suitcase with all this food.
A gathering at a table.
Not being home, not being with his family. He led a lonely life.
Joseph Volpe.
And that's why I think he had the big entourage all the time. And after performances, all the people going to dinner.
Can we agree, sir, that it is fattening?
No doubt about that.
One day he says, now this is how you lose weight. First we have chicken, beans, and mashed potatoes. And after that, we then have 4 scoops of vanilla ice cream. And he eats quickly his 3 scoops. And he pushes the plate away, leaving a scoop. He said, now that's the diet. You don't eat the last scoop. I guarantee you, you lose weight. That was his diet.
Manager Terry Robson.
He absolutely hated being alone. For somebody who's so big and famous, he was extremely vulnerable in so many ways. He had a lot of nerves, and I think the audience could connect with that.
What am I? Am I successful or am I famous? That I don't know, I don't care.
Pavarotti on Pavarotti.
I know that people recognize me on the street, very good. But I have 3 daughters and 1 wife. And when I am at home, I know exactly who I am. Nothing. Exactly zero.
A sly smile.
But I am happy.
Even successful nothings carry the American Express card.
The American Express commercial paid $10,000, which is chicken feed. But it didn't matter. It was all over the place. And do you know me? Well, if you didn't know me, you'd know him pretty soon.
Would you welcome, please, Luciano Pavarotti.
Luciano Pavarotti.
Luciano Pavarotti.
Luciano Pavarotti.
He appears on the covers of Opera News, Newsweek, Time. Juilliard President Peter Menon.
Welcome to this afternoon's special class with Mr. Pavarotti and students of the Juilliard Voice Department. Luciano Pavarotti.
Soprano Madeline Renee.
Before I met Luciano, I had no idea who he was. I should be embarrassed to say that. I was already in my second year at Juilliard. He was doing a masterclass.
Masterclass. The word by himself already scared me. I am very, very nervous.
It's a daunting experience. But Luciano was very good at putting people at ease, and especially in front of an audience.
A young Madeline Renee joins him on stage. Words appear. Le Nozze di Figaro by Mozart. Pianist John Wustman. Nearby, Luciano waves a pencil in the air.
He was already a maestro, listening to younger singers and, you know, knowing the repertoire and knowing the vocal difficulties and being able to say something to make it better.
Beautiful voice. I think for your voice, you should take the tempo just a little quick, un poco più veloce. Doesn't matter what the piano play, what the orchestra play with the right tempo for everybody. Can you try the beginning, please?
I always knew I wanted to sing from the time I was young. And I had studied Italian and lived in France when I was little, so I had several languages. Luciano, he needed somebody to answer his phones and somebody to answer his fan mail. He said, if you help me out, I will work with your voice.
Terry Robson.
He loved teaching. That's what maestro is. He's a teacher. He had great teachers as a young person, and he was very, very technically educated as a tenor student.
when I was a kid. I give up everything. I begin to go to bed early every night. I try with all my power studying singing and become a more serious student.
I did have two teachers. One was a tenor, and they give me vocal bass. And the second one is a very, very famous teacher.
Ettore Campogalliani.
And it was more about the phrasing, the music.
Technique was everything to him. Technique and language meant so much.
Angela Giorgiou.
When studying our profession, Italian opera is the base for opera. Questa duella per me pari sono a cantare tre ritorno, ritorno mi vedo. First we have the words. The composer, he has the words and then he put the notes. The composers, they are based of the meaning of the word. It's the most important to understand how to share that emotion from that particular word with the public.
If I fancy a beautiful girl.
Zubin Mehta.
Composers like Mozart, Verdi, Donizetti, they use the language. So if you pronounce it well, you get the rhythm immediately, because the rhythm is in the music too.
Woman is fickle, like a feather in the wind. She changes the tone of her voice and her thoughts.
It's about breathing, controlling your diaphragm.
Madeline Renee.
Taking your air in, and you're the one that decides where your air goes, how it goes out, how long your phrase is. As Luciano used to say, on questione di misura, you measure your breath.
Placido Domingo.
It's how you coordinate everything with feelings, with expression, you know, with temperament, with joy. The public, they don't know what are you doing, but they feel it.
A smile appears. Now on the Johnny Carson Show, he takes the hand of a female guest.
If you just have singing a quarter of the beauty voice you have speaking, my dear, will be your cipher great singer.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm sure.
Beautiful. You sly dog, you. You're right to the ladies, you see? Right to the ladies.
I saw you before.
Luciano was mischievous. He had, how would I say, monello. That would be the word I would use. It's an Italian word for, you know, like a schoolboy sense of humor. He would take delight in the little funny things, you know, the stupid things.
Mr. Pavarotti, speaking on behalf of all the ladies in the audience, we should like you to know that we love large men, and particularly...
Luciano's eyes crinkle as he laughs heartily.
Especially large men with large voices. Do you think that your huggable extra inches helps to produce that beautiful resonance?
I think so.
Cristina Pavarotti.
Aveva in mezzo le donne.
He had many male friends, of course. But he loved the feminine, the essence, the female energy. And he loved being spoiled by women. Certainly.
Luciano poses with four women.
When I was born in this building, it was already 6 years that a boy was not born. So I was the first boy after 6 years, born in a house with 15 family, 100 people. My mother embraced me, and with all the women of this house, I was the Lucianino. Everybody was looking for me. I was very much spoiled, loved, but even kept smart.
Manager Terry Robson.
I think Luciano loved women, and he also trusted them. He was brought up by women. He had aunties, his mum, and of course with Adwa. He had three daughters, and then Alicia and Nicoletta. He definitely had an affinity for women. And I think the bossier we were, the more he argued with us, but the more he trusted us as well, I think.
He poses with stewardesses, Madeline Renee.
I was accompanying him on all his tours all over the place. I remember he had 28 suitcases. You know, Luciano never packed a suitcase in his life.
The trolley is piled with matching luggage.
He was very demanding. God forbid his handkerchiefs weren't where they were supposed to be. You know, I mean, it was difficult at times. I had to take care of his schedule, who he was supposed to meet, when his rehearsals were, and I was singing with him. The relationship was so all-encompassing because I was the friend, the student, the secretary. He was my mentor, my teacher, my love. I never thought that I would end up in a relationship with Luciano. But it was hard to see where to draw a line.
He holds her in a photo.
I remember a recital, and I was backstage, you know, holding his water and his hot tea or whatever, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, he dragged me out on the stage to sing La Bohème, the duet.
Opera super titles.
Take my arm, my dear young lady.
As you say, my dear sir.
Do you love me? Say.
I certainly do.
Luciano always said, there are no great teachers or no great students. It's the meeting of the two together.
Love.
They hold hands as they perform with an orchestra.
Love.
Still holding hands, Luciano lifts his face and smiles. As he ushers Madeline off the stage, he gestures to the musicians. Madison Square Garden, 1984. Concert promoter Harvey Goldsmith.
One of the execs in my office came to me and showed me an article that the maestro had just sold out Madison Square Garden. And I thought, that looks interesting. Most of my life at that point was based around rock and roll concerts.
Our view sweeps over London.
I had just booked 6 nights at Earl's Court for Bruce Springsteen and paid the deposit. And then I got a phone call from Bruce's manager to say that Bruce doesn't want to do an arena in London, so I was stuck. I was in for £500,000. So I set about everybody in my office looking for an alternative to put into Earl's Court. And then a chap came into my office and showed me this article, and I just said, get him.
Young Breslin at a desk.
Herbert Breslin.
So we tracked down Herbert Breslin, who was his manager, who refused point blank to speak to me.
Breslin hangs up.
And he said, why on earth would I want to talk to a rock and roll promoter? And he kind of emphasised the rock and the roll. And I said, I don't know, really. I produce concerts. I'm quite good at it.
Tickets and posters. Bob Dylan with special guest Eric Clapton. The Rolling Stones. Queen. Paul McCartney and Wings.
I kept faxing over offers till the point where the offer was so good that he finally picked the phone up and he said, can we meet?
A red double-decker bus rolls by.
So I arranged a lunch in my office. We sat down, we started talking, and I realised very early on that Breslin was a diva, was a real diva. But Pavarotti was different.
Luciano greets people.
The first concert that we put on together, I took my parents backstage and they were so excited to meet him, and he literally chucked everybody out of the dressing room.
His dressing room door closes.
My mother came out just streaming of tears, and I thought, oh my God, what's happened?
People wait outside the room.
He had sat my mum and dad down and sang an aria to them.
Be silent. Tonight, say nothing. Come into my arms, but without speaking.
They told me what happened. I was quite taken aback, to be honest. He had this knack above any other person I'd ever met in my life of making people feel that he was their friend, that they were special.
he tweaks the little girl's nose. Giuliana.
I remember the feeling of an empty space that gets filled, with his vibration, which was the case when he sang, but also in terms of his presence, his charisma.
Luciano doffs his hat from a balcony. He playfully conducts a pianist. He paces backstage.
What time is it, please?
Cristina Pavarotti.
You could feel his fear before going on stage. And we could feel how much he needed us.
Family members gather around a dinner table. Ottawa and three daughters, now young women.
Loved ones. People who loved him. He knew we loved him. And he confided in us. But at home, there were moments that I missed him.
The family plays a card game. A bottle of wine is labeled Pavarotti.
Giuliana.
Ottawa.
Giuliana, she started at the age of 15 to not be able to command her own movements. I took her here to some specialists in Modena who absolutely did not understand anything about this illness.
Giuliana.
This is a disease that brings about progressive paralysis. So you lose strength in your muscles. And then you die by choking, suffocation.
Ottawa.
Luciano and I contacted a neurologist from the Presbyterian Hospital in New York, and she was immediately admitted and operated.
Flutist Andrea Griminelli.
He was incredibly close to Giuliana at that time. To be near his daughter, he canceled a lot of dates. All the concerts, all the operas during a certain period.
In a photo, Giuliana rests her head on Luciano's shoulder.
He had received criticism. He had no problem. He didn't listen to the critics. He didn't heed the criticism. Then luckily, she was healed, and everything went for the better.
Luciano poses with his three teenage daughters.
It was a miracle, no doubt. From that day to say, my dear, the life is the most important thing you have. Let's start again.
Luciano kisses a daughter's cheek as they walk. Michael Kuhn, Polygram Entertainment, 1978 to 2006.
About that time, I worked for Polygram, which was one of the biggest record companies in the world. And we bought Decca Records. And Pavarotti was one of the biggest assets.
Posters advertise a new album, Le Triomphe de Pavarotti.
Almost immediately, we found out that Pavarotti had been recording for someone else, and he was under huge contract exclusively to Decca. And I was told to go and tell him off.
Big Ben towers over a square in London.
I was a nothing little pipsqueak in the company, and it was also my first meeting with the maestro. So I went to his room at the Savoy and knocked on the door, and he said, oh, come in, sit down. It was obviously quite intimidating.
In a photo, Luciano glares.
So I said, maestro, I've come to tell you off. And he said, what? I said, well, have you been recording for someone else? And he said, yes, my wife's company, I make wonderful records for them. I said, well, you're not allowed to. And he said, what do you mean, not allowed to? I said, because you're under exclusive contract and you are only allowed to record for the Decca Record Company, no one else. So this is the meaning of exclusive. I said, yes, that is exclusive. Yes, you cannot do it, you must not. Ah, he said, life is too short. So I went back to the office and they were all desperate to know what the maestro had said. What did he say? I said, well, he said, life's too short. What did you say? I said, well, I couldn't have anything to say because I think he's right.
In a portrait, Luciano holds Ottawa.
So we went when we bought his wife's company for a modest amount of money and he was happy, his wife was happy, everyone was happy.
In another photo, the couple grins.
It was a life lesson. Those people that infect you with understanding the difference between a business life and a human life are rare.
Luciano soaps up in a shower. Terry Robson.
During the 80s, you started working with the Hungarian promoter Tibor Rudash, and things just got bigger.
Impresario Tibor Rudas.
I was the vice president of the first casino opened in Atlantic City. I built a theater for them, and I used practically every contemporary artist known in the United States. Sinatra, Diana Ross, anybody.
Poster of Dolly Parton, Pavarotti on stage.
It was funny because the manager was actually Herbert Breslin, and Herbert wouldn't let you do anything. And then Tibor Rudash took him out into the arenas, and he wanted to do everything.
Luciano spreads his arms and beams a huge smile. Thousands of fans pack stadiums, arenas, and Central Park. A banner in the crowd reads, Pav is Fab, Zubin Mehta.
Tibor made a career with Luciano, taking him into stadiums, various capitals of the world.
Thousands applaud at the foot of an Incan step pyramid. Luciano waves and blows a kiss. Promoter Harvey Goldsmith.
Suddenly, in between my relationship, which was just beginning with Breslin, I get a phone call from Tibor Rudash. He said, anything you do from here on in, you work for me, got it? I said, okay.
Rudash laughs maniacally at a camera. He dances a jig. He poses with Luciano and others. And Majette.
Once Tibor got in the picture, the whole financial picture changed. That was certainly an important point in the development of Luciano's career. He was branching out.
Madeline Renee.
Everything became more geared towards mass appeal.
Luciano plays tennis, rides a horse, hugs Jimmy Carter.
It's important to remember that there's a huge tradition of opera stars as huge popular entertainers. The opera stars of their day were the movie stars of today. There's an exact link. And so Pavarotti is picking up on a tradition that's very much embodied by Enrico Caruso, say, who was the first and one of the greatest recording stars of all time.
Enrico Caruso, 1873 to 1921.
Caruso was this unbelievably globally popular tenor who would attract hundreds of thousands of people wherever he went just to catch a glimpse of him, forget about seeing him perform. Pavarotti was the kind of Caruso of his age.
ABC News, Peter Jennings.
And finally this evening, opera in China. The great Italian tenor Pavarotti. ABC's Jim Lawrie is in Beijing.
The Western Opera Company had never been to China.
Enter the imposing figure of Luciano Pavarotti in his first tour of China. 3 weeks in which to embrace the Chinese.
On a tarmac.
I am very happy to be here. For all of us, it's completely new. And I hope especially that the public is going to enjoy.
Mao Zedong had departed from the scene not much before we went to China. And Luciano took a full opera company, a press crew, and everybody. The Chinese did not have a classical music tradition. It was totally foreign to their culture.
A traditional dancer wearing an ornate headdress twirls a rod, then poses with a wide stare. Luciano rides a bike on a Chinese thoroughfare, laughing all the while. Pianist Lang Lang.
I was a little kid, and here comes this wonderful Italian guy, pretty big guy, but with the most beautiful smile. I would say Pavarotti, when he smiles with this white handkerchief, the whole world opens for him.
At Great Hall of the People in Beijing, Luciano spreads his arms, the white handkerchief dangling from his fingers.
Pavarotti, before his visit, we know who he is, but we don't know so much about the opera. He certainly gave the Chinese audience the first inspiration on how to understand opera.
A masterclass.
Le lacrime che noi versiamo son false, del parivi, del parivi. E parlato.
Le lacrime che noi versiamo son false, dei risposimi e dei nostri martire, non allarmatevi.
Luciano gestures emphatically, now softly.
Il corneto sa, e che di quest'orfano mondo al pari di voi.
The singer laughs. Luciano offers his beverage. In an auditorium, a standing ovation.
In 1986, in China, I'd just turned 30. Luciano was still married, and I knew that I had to make a break from my relationship with Luciano.
Backstage, a younger Madeline heaves a sigh.
So I did make a break.
Stern-faced, she walks toward the stage.
It was a painful moment for me. It was a painful moment for him.
Onlookers watch as Luciano enters a car.
I did not speak to Luciano for years after I went my own way.
Posters of Luciano hang in a record store. Anne Majette.
At that time, the late 1980s, Pavarotti is the single most recognizable operatic figure of the last 50 years.
He signs autographs at the store.
But over the course of the next few years, Luciano wasn't focused on the opera anymore. From my perspective, as a picture of somebody who was a little bewildered, I think, and had a big monkey on his back in terms of a big career and a lot of responsibilities and not a lot of clarity about where he was going with it.
He applies makeup in a backstage mirror.
Everything was really very difficult, but I still have to go on the stage to act for the night, for the public. I am putting the white makeup of the clown on the face. I watch myself in the mirror. And I say, it is the life. You have to go out. You have to laugh. Even if you have the dead in your heart, you have to try to enjoy the people like every night.
Opera supertitles.
Change into laughs, the spasms of pain. Into a grimace, the tears of pain. Laugh about the pain. That poisons your heart.
How can you stay in front of an audience and say something if you don't believe in it? There is no bluff in this profession. This is not a poker game. It is a chess game. And if you lose, you don't have any excuse.
In a portrait, Luciano gazes somberly through deep brown eyes. His dark hair sweeps over his head, and he wears a trim beard and mustache. Now the Space Needle, a disc-shaped building high atop a tower. Then a photo of José Carreras, Plácido Domingo.
José was a very young tenor, and the doctors said that he has leukemia. And it was 1 year out of the stage.
José Carreras, one of the world's most popular singers, spent 10 months undergoing intensive treatment in Barcelona and in a specialist clinic in Seattle.
José Carreras.
Luciano called me in my hospital in Seattle. Chicho, he called me always Chicho. Chicho, how are you doing? Get well soon. I don't have competition otherwise. After that, I had the idea maybe we could do a concert that puts me back on stage.
On a stage, José receives applause and warm greetings from the other performers.
In those days, the three of us used to live in the same building in Central Park South. And we have a common friend. He came to Luciano and me and said, what would you feel doing a concert with José?
Conductor Zubin Mehta.
The idea was that since all three tenors really love football and the World Cup was going on at the same time, to get them there at the eve of the finals, they would all agree.
July in Rome is the scene of an historic concert. Three of the world's greatest tenors on the same stage for the first time. Luciano Pavarotti, Plácido Domingo, and the recently critically ill José Carreras.
Teatro dell'Opera di Roma, Rome, 1990.
It's almost, the feeling is that, eh?
Yeah.
I thought they will have arguments who will sing which aria. There's so much repertoire. So we all rehearsed it on the spot.
Oh, Chicho, oh,
One of us suggested, why don't you do this and I do that? And there was no argument ever.
So we divide some of the numbers, so to pick, you know, in between these areas and so on. So.
Tenors Concert, July 1990. An audience gathers under the open air of the Baths of Caracalla rooms in Rome. The tuxedoed tenors wait backstage. They take the stage. Jose Carreras.
I think a good way to know a person is sharing the stage with him. You know what kind of determination, you know what kind of fears he's bringing to every performance.
Musicians in tuxedos and gowns play on risers before the stone ruins.
The moment of being on the stage, there was the competition. It was okay, like anything you do, I can do better. Feeling was in the spirit of the moment, you know? Boy, what a phrase you did. Now let me do this one.
It was fantastic in the artistic side, but in the personal side, believe me, it was even better.
Maestro Zubineta turns to the tenors. Beaming, he sets his baton down on his music stand. The audience rises to its feet. Zubin joins the tenors as they embrace each other and wave to the audience. Placido Domingo.
We were going to leave Luciano to sing the Sundorman because it was his signature aria. But we end the program and we don't have more music. And we don't know what to do. And I say to Luciano, why we don't do the Nessun Dorman, the three together? And we did this version, which is something that was very special.
Jose Carreras.
And my kiss shall break the silence, which makes you mine.
Luciano and Placido point to themselves and to each other in mock confusion. Placido Domingo.
Depart, O night. Fade away, you stars.
Carreras.
At dawn, I will win.
Pavarotti.
I will win. I will win.
and gestures wildly at the orchestra, dripping with sweat and beaming. Zubin takes Luciano's hand as he turns toward the audience. The orchestra stands. Luciano closes his eyes for a moment, then shakes Zubin's hand. Zubin hugs Placido and Jose as thousands applaud. Dickens Stainer, Decca Records.
It's kind of hard to overstate what an impact that had. It was like a tidal wave.
The four men face the audience, smiling and laughing. A billboard, the three tenors live at Dodger Stadium. After a performance, Luciano rubs Jose's head.
Three tenors transform three guys into the biggest band in the world.
They pose for a dense pack of photographers. They speak at a panel discussion.
All of a sudden, classical departments were the hottest departments in the record business.
Headlines, classical music sales soar. New tenors on the block. Tenors go multi-platinum.
Rudash took on the three tenors, you know, worldwide.
Terry Robson.
Obviously things catapulted after that.
Tibor Rudash presents the three tenors, Paris, Tokyo, Vienna.
By this point, Breslin was already sidelined. Rudash was the Svengali behind all of it. Pavarotti became the global rock star, cutting above anybody else.
In a Lavazza commercial, Luciano sips an espresso.
It's this or nothing. There were a number of times when he was difficult. He had his moments, kicking and screaming, I don't want to perform and all the rest of it.
Please, 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 please. Just make my part.
Okay. Ottawa.
He got used to having everything. If he had asked for chicken's milk, they would have probably milked the chicken.
In a view over Hyde Park, London, a swath of toppled trees.
We had a very infamous kind of hurricane in London where a lot of trees were blown down. I went to see the Royal Parks Authority and said we would love to do a concert with Pavarotti. And I suggested that we raise a sum of money towards planting trees to replace the trees that had been knocked down, which of course went down brilliantly. They loved it.
Luciano Pavarotti, seen here planting a tree for the Prince of Wales Royal Parks Tree Appeal. This evening, the Prince and Princess Diana will join an estimated 250,000 people to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Pavarotti's professional debut.
A lot of the royal family came, most of the cabinet came, so it was a pretty star-studded event.
Grey skies over London.
The day of the concert, I open the window and it's raining. And I say to my agent, let's go home, because nobody is going to come.
Terry Robson.
It was like somebody was throwing buckets of water just down from the sky, and it just never stopped.
Dickens Stainer.
But we are in England, so, of course, it was umbrellas everywhere.
In a park, a sea of umbrellas.
The maestro got to a second aria. People holding up their umbrellas, people behind couldn't see, they were shouting and there was this noise going on. I literally rushed on stage, grabbed the microphone, and I just said,
if you could, subtitles.
If you could you lower your umbrellas? Everybody's wet, and enjoy it. Thank you very much.
And the first person to jump up was Princess Diana, who had a guy behind standing with an umbrella who said, take the umbrella down. And there was this ripple effect all the way back through the audience. Everybody put their umbrellas down and the concert carried on.
The next aria is from the same opera that I have sung now, Manon. The title of the aria is Donna non vidi mai. It means I have never seen a woman like that. And with your permission, I would like to dedicate to Lady Diana.
She smiles and laughs. Super titles.
I have never seen a woman such as this one. To tell her I love you. My soul awakens to a new life. Manon Lescaut is my name.
It was something magical, that a connection between the two of them. Like it was out of a fairy tale.
Ah, do not cease. Ah, do not cease.
He nods to the audience. In the front row, Prince Charles and Lady Diana applaud. A plastic sheet covers their laps.
I brought Princess Diana backstage. They were kind of giggling, the pair of them. It was really funny.
Both of them wet from rain. Luciano kisses her hand.
The royal family, they may attend events, but they don't normally come to dinners afterwards. But I invited Princess Diana to come along, and much to everybody's amazement, she said yes.
Wearing a simple white cocktail dress, she greets Luciano with a hug.
At dinner, the maestro sat next to Princess Diana and they just hit it off famously.
They greet each other on the street as fans watch from behind a barricade. They walk together.
They became really, really good friends. And they both had a wicked sense of humour as well.
They agreed to do things together and subsequently we did another concert for the Red Cross.
Dick and Stainer.
All of a sudden, it was less about him as a singer and more about charity.
The two greet each other at another event. Luciano watches children perform.
His focus changed. He was always generous, but he became completely obsessed by what he could do for others.
He reveals a PSA on a bus which reads, "I'm your child too."
He wouldn't just put money into a charity. He wanted to know that it was building a school or a health center, always around children and the communities.
That goodness resonated out of him.
He greets Nelson Mandela.
And it's almost like I've reached a stage in my career where this is what I'm able to do now.
He receives an award, then holds his tearful face in his hand.
The tears of Luciano Pavarotti, an emotion never felt on stage before. But the place where he performed without a script, libretto, or his big tenor voice, today is an unusual stage, the Center for Bone Marrow Transplant at Pesaro. Pavarotti is surrounded by many children from all over the world, and here they've ended a long journey towards hope. Here they've managed to defeat a rare blood disease with a transplant that has made the center of Pesaro one of the most qualified in the world. Pavarotti's visit coincides with the delivery of a check for $300,000 to the foundation. This is the first act of a project that will be followed by a charity concert given for Pavarotti International in Modena.
One afternoon, I get a phone call from Rudas, and he said, "So Pavarotti's going to have all you rock people playing with him in his farm in Modena, and you're going to pay for it." Plonk. Hello?
Pavarotti and Friends, 1992. Crowds cover acres of ground.
Rudas called back and said, "He wants to do a concert. Not my idea. It's your world. You deal with it. You pay for it." I said, "What are you talking about?"
On stage, Bob Geldof, Mike Oldfield, Suzanne Vega, and more.
We make charity with Pop Singer in Modena. I always found myself very happy to do this thing.
The Neville brothers, Brian May.
He took ownership of this one charity concert every year.
Luciano takes the stage.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to say anything else because I'm not a presenter. Let's hope we'll make good music and entertain everyone.
Dick and Stainer.
You would turn up on the day not quite sure who was going to be there. And I think they sometimes didn't know who was flying in the night before. Were there any rehearsals? And it would never start on time. But it always had something magic about it.
Angela Giorgio.
For me, it was very difficult because I can say pop and opera singer at the same time. No, never.
Luciano, Sting, Zucchero, and Lucio Dalla. Luciano hugs Sting and Majette.
Luciano wasn't focused on the opera anymore at that point. And there were critics around who were shocked, and the opera world was kind of left cold.
I received some criticism from people, then probably they don't understand, or probably they want to put a dagger in my body. And I'm telling you, with all my power, I don't care.
Terry Robson.
Pavarotti and Friends concerts every year became, you know, far more important in his life. And after the first time, Nicoletta came on the scene.
A young woman wearing a tweed skirt and jacket poses in a park. Nicoletta Mantovani.
The first day we met actually was here, practically where we are now. I was very young, I was like 23, and I was studying natural science. And like most of the students, during summertime, I was always looking for little jobs around, you know, to try to pay for school.
Luciano and others watch a horse and trainer in a ring.
Nicoletta worked at the horse show, and she knew nothing about opera.
Luciano hand-feeds the horse.
I don't think she particularly liked opera, but the chemistry between them was magical, right from the beginning.
In photos, Luciano drapes his arm over her shoulder.
Luciano, since the beginning, told me that the previous relation was finished since long time, so I never felt guilty, you know? I never felt to be the reason of something.
At an event, he touches her face.
At the beginning, we told everybody that I was the assistant, but that was not true. It's not easy to say I have a relation with a man 34 years older. The attack was strong, but Luciano was my great defender, you know? He was always protecting me.
Luciano holds her close.
Not much after we were together. I found out to be sick of multiple sclerosis.
They sit together in an auditorium.
And that was a very difficult moment for us. I realized, I said, you know, I don't think I can be with you anymore. And it was incredible because he said something that really brought me tears even now. I said, you know, until now I loved you, but from now on I adore you.
A single secret tear.
We will be together and we will fight the sickness.
That started there in her eyes.
And I think this is what love does, you know, makes you feel better.
Of those festive young girls. Envious, it seems. What more need I look for? What more need I look for? She loves me. Yes, she loves me. I see it. I see it.
He said, you know, you have to watch your sickness now like an opportunity, not like something bad that happened to you. And I think he got his vision of life when he was very young. After the war, when he was 12 years old, he had a form of tetanus from playing outside, and he almost died.
Children in a hospital ward.
He was in coma for 2 weeks, and I always hear the people that they come to visit me, and they say, well, the priest arrived. It was the reason that I am an optimistic person. Because when you come out from something like that, you are definitely a survivor. Somebody who just say to himself in this dramatic moment, if I just am going to make it, I will enjoy life, I will enjoy the sun, the sky, the tree, everything.
Luciano said, now, when you see a sunset, you really feel the sunset inside of you.
A setting sun breaks through a forest.
And he was right, because even the perception of the important things in life change. You stop making drama for little things, you know, because you know that the real drama is something else. You understand that you need to feel it and to live it, you know?
Luciano steps out of a taxi, smiling broadly. He blows kisses at fans and doffs his hat. He walks through the crowd with an arm around Nicoletta. Terry Robson.
Nicoletta is an extremely brave person, and she just got on with it. And she became very, very instrumental in Pavarotti and Friends.
Nicoletta and Luciano hold a giant check.
After the second concert, Luciano invited a lot of musicians from the pop world. But I want to make it bigger, you know? So I started from the band I liked most in my life.
You two. In Dublin, Ireland, Bono.
Luciano started to call my home in Dublin.
Hello, I'm Mr. Pavarotti.
You have Luciano Pavarotti, the greatest singer on earth maybe who ever existed, calling you at home to try and get us to write a song.
We called Bono for ages. He became a friend of the housekeeper of Bono because she was Italian.
Our housekeeper, Teresa, he just got to know her. He'd ring and say, is God at home? The technique was one of humility, which is, of course, a very mischievous trick. He had turned our housekeeper into his consigliere. Because of breakfast, dinner, and tea, she was like, have you got that song done for him?
Bono said, I don't have a song. I have no idea. And Luciano said, God will inspire you.
Our view soars over country fields.
I remember there's Easter coming up, and he said, God will sing him something. And I woke up with the melody. I mean, it really did happen like that. My father put a love of opera in me for sure. So I just imagined it was my father, Bob, singing in the shower. And then Edge came in, his father being a tenor also. And he said, yeah, but he'll want a higher note to hit. After we wrote the song and recorded the song, we thought it would be the end of just to give him the song. Oh no, just the start.
A concert.
He then started to petition our housekeeper, Teresa, we need them Modena. They now have to play the song. And I explained we definitely couldn't play Modena, the band couldn't do it. We're in the studio at the moment. And before I could say no, he said, well, look, I'm on my way to the studio. And I said, no, we're in Dublin. He says, I am in Dublin.
On an airplane, Luciano dons a tweed cap. He, Nicoletta, and others visit a gift shop.
So there's a knock at the door. He arrives with a fucking camera crew to say, now you can tell the people that you're coming. How could you say no to that? You couldn't. He knew that.
In a studio.
Welcome to Dublin. Thank you.
And this is Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Hi, we met.
Ciao. We met already.
Is it true that this song of Sarajevo?
It's true that the maestro here has been haunting me, and he has, like a spirit, been in this building long before he arrived here in person. And we made a piece called Miss Sarajevo. We hope to we will perform this song in Modena. On what is the date?
The 12th of September.
Luciano ruffles Bono's hair.
Luciano is one of the great emotional arm wrestlers. And he would break your fucking arm. And so we ended up in Modena, of course.
At an open-air concert, Bono steps forward and bows to the crowd. As Luciano steps onto the stage, Bono shakes the man's hand and bows deeply. Words appear. Debut performance of Miss Sarajevo, Pavarotti and Friends, concert for the children of Bosnia.
Is there a time you keep at your distance? A time to turn your eyes away? Is there a time for keeping your head down, for getting on with your day? Here she comes.
Lady Diana smiles from the audience.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Let's turn around. Here she comes.
Sarajevo, 1994. A house explodes on a hillside. A man runs through an empty plaza.
I remember myself
when we were bombed here in the last war.
In black and white footage, a brick building collapses. Troops push a howitzer gun through a town.
The gun machine. The sound of all the night long.
People carry their belongings through the streets.
To see hanged people.
You saw that?
Oh, yes. I don't want to say every day, but almost.
Six bodies hang from a wall.
It was quite something for a kid.
At the Modena performance. An orchestra plays behind Luciano, Bono, and Edge. Bono.
He was crushed by injustice, and the war deeply offended him. He just had this sense in him that he better use this other currency and try to do something with it.
Luciano and Nicoletta arrive in a helicopter.
He wanted to go to Bosnia to help the children, to give them a hope for a future, because Luciano was one of those children.
We tried to make something, a kind of music conservatory, where the kid go there to sing, which is the most important thing. This is for Bosnia. It's for the kid of Bosnia.
Guarded by soldiers, a man hangs a sign for a music school. Children perform in a classroom.
Grazie.
Luciano applauds. He and Bono share an embrace on stage. Gentle waves wash over a sandy, palm tree-lined beach. Words appear. Barbados, 1996.
We went to Barbados every year, you know, for 1 month. That was our rest. That moment was really a bad moment because at that point the relationship became public.
Intimate photos in a magazine. A headline, Everything Comes From a Kiss. The Today Show, 1996.
In every Italian opera, there's the Scena Madre. That's the dramatic scene where the hero comes face to face with potential tragedy. These days in Modena, almost everyone has something to say about Pavarotti's Scena Madre and how it will play itself out.
It's disgusting. At the age of 60, he shouldn't do such things.
Well, he was the most famous Catholic in the most Catholic of all countries. Divorce at that time was unthinkable. So they would devote quite a lot of the paper to it. In Italy, this story played out for years.
These days, there are no real marriages. Men have 4 or 5 wives. There is no respect.
So at the beginning, I spent, unfortunately, my life trying to show that I wasn't like that. Paluccio said, you are wasting time. They will still think like that.
Ottawa.
They had talked about so many betrayals that he had done. However, I never wanted to believe them. When I had suspicions, he would swear, he would really swear, etc. I understood after that he wasn't swearing the truth, however.
Footage of a gated estate.
And while Mrs. Pavarotti is in seclusion, her lawyer says all the family hopes is that Luciano tires of it all.
Luciano walks through a crowd, an arm around Nicoletta. Cristina Pavarotti.
I understood, and my family also understood, that our life had been different to what we had thought. Quite simply, I wanted to understand and ask for an explanation. And he said, these things concern your mother and I. And I replied, no, these things concern us as well. That was the moment we had a falling out.
Ottawa.
After the divorce, especially in our city, the public opinion of him had changed.
In a photo, the family of 5 laughed together at the dinner table.
He had always tried to create a perfect image for himself. 3 daughters, a wife, his mother, his father.
In Italia, per cui era caduta questa immagine di,
in Italy, non solo this di image cantante, of the sublime senso. Singer fell.
It was bad because I was suffering myself. But my wife suffered more.
In photos, Ottawa lounges on a beach chair.
But then you understand, then I fall in love.
Luciano and Nicoletta smile as they walk together. Bono.
He got it in the neck from Pavarotti, the pop star. He's now falling in love. He got it in the neck again. But he was owning up to his humanity. The grandiosity of the voice completely disguised the fact that he could be extremely humble. And that was a shock to me. And he ended up becoming great friends. And then she got pregnant. I was like, wow.
Luciano and Nicoletta pose for a photo, his hand on her pregnant belly.
The incredible thing is that they were twins, so we were so happy, you know. We have a double happiness. Yeah, the very complicated pregnancy. There was kind of a tumor called Mola. The doctor said, in America, said that I should have give up. No way. So I found a doctor in Italy, said, you know, there are just five cases like that in the world, and they were all ended badly. So I said, I want to try anyway, you know.
Eventually, they had twins, obviously, and unfortunately what happened. Ricardo was lost. He was stillborn.
We lost my son, very sad day, but we have Alice, so still a blessing. All the love that we should have for both of them is on her.
They pose with a tiny infant.
Obviously, it was incredibly difficult at first, and she was tiny.
Luciano cradles the infant in the hospital. Terry Robson.
Right from the start of her life, you know, she was hanging on, she was strong.
A wedding. Nicoletta walks down an aisle as guests applaud. At a reception, she feeds Luciano a piece of cake. Outside, the newlyweds are showered with rice. Jose Carreras.
I remember his wedding. These people from the Emilia region, they know how to enjoy life.
The Vatican forbade him from marrying Nicoletta in a church. So, of course, they got married in the opera house.
The ceremony takes place on stage.
And Alice just became this angel.
By a backyard pool, little Alice blows out a single candle. In the pool, she splashes her parents.
I was filming every little detail because she was such a joy for us, you know, and we waited for Alice for such a long time.
At a rehearsal, Alice, the toddler now, reels back and cries. Nicoletta sets her down. The little girl pouts and stares.
Some months before we had Alice, Luciano became grandfather for the first time. For him, it was very important to have the family together.
Cristina.
So there had been moments when we didn't meet often. Surely he brought me closer to him with the birth of my daughter. Because when there's a new birth, that brings you closer usually.
Nicoletta.
Everything that happened could not be an ending, you know. We had to start living again.
Family members play cards in a backyard.
He asked if he could come and see her. I said, well, it's your right, come. It's obvious that time buries these things and shows you in reality the person he was, that he was a friendly, human, generous person, especially being a great singer, as everybody knows. I think that he was a level above.
Luciano greets family and others with kisses and hugs.
I learned to love people. You cannot even say you learn because you are born with this kind of thing inside you. But I keep going on trusting blindly everybody. And
even today?
Most,
even today.
You're a trusting person?
Are you joking?
Well, I would
I will not exist if I don't trust people.
He kisses hands and pats faces. He watches the sunset with a friend. Now, Luciano's country home, a Spanish tile villa in Pesaro, Italy, 2003. Harvey Goldsmith.
I remember getting a call from Nicoletta, and I went over to see Pavarotti, and he said, I want to do 40 concerts or thereabouts around the world, not in a rush, and I want to open a school and go back to the opera house. He said, you've been with me for a long time and you've never let me down, and you're not going to let me down now, are you? And I said, no, it's going to be fantastic.
Luciano works his way through throngs of fans and reporters. Anne Majette.
Pavarotti, at his best, he was just a gorgeous, glorious singer. He rode on that for a long time, past his heyday and past his best, into roles that weren't so great for him.
At the Metropolitan Opera.
You know, the voice, it was interesting, but, you know, it just his voice doesn't ping like it used to.
He made each of his high Cs. He was straining a bit.
He was trying very hard, but it didn't come out the way he and I would have liked it to come out.
Bono.
I remember somebody saying to me, oh, no, I saw him in the great days. It was a whole different thing. I just think, you don't know anything, do you? You don't know anything about singing. The reason why he is great is because he has lived those songs, and you can hear them in every crack of his voice. You have to break your heart again and again and again to sing those songs. It really pisses me off when people miss that, because these are well-known songs. What can you bring to them? The only thing you can bring to them is your entire life. A life that's been lived, the mistakes you've made, the hopes, the desires, that's all that stuff comes crashing into the performance.
And faint perfumes the air pervaded. Creaked the gate of the garden.
Tosca by Giacomo Puccini.
And a footstep grazed the sand. Twas hers, the fragrant creature.
Placido Domingo.
I was conducting Tosca, and I will never forget Luciano singing as the noble character. At the end of the opera, Cavaradossi, he knows that he's going to die.
Gone forever is my dream of love. Time has fled, and I die in despair. I die in despair. But never have I loved life so much. Loved life so much.
Luciano's face grimaces tearfully as he stands, frozen and alone on a raised dais. Members of the orchestra join in the applause. Maestro Domingo applauds and wags a finger at Luciano. A slight smile appears as Luciano stands, his right hand over his heart. He blows a kiss, turns away, then stops. His back to the audience, he shakes his head.
Opera star Luciano Pavarotti is in the hospital. Last year, doctors discovered he had pancreatic cancer. He underwent surgery for it in New York. His spokesman says Pavarotti was taken to the hospital in his hometown in Italy 2 days ago, but isn't saying anything about his condition. Pavarotti is 71.
A headline, Pavarotti blindato in ospedale, Nicoletta.
We didn't know, but he was already sick. And I kept crying, and he was trying really to tell me that everything would be okay. Because his frame of mind was like that, believing in life.
Her smile grows wistful, her gaze distant. Cristina.
In the beginning, it didn't seem to be that serious. Still, we left immediately. But in short, it was a very serious thing. We found him in a coma, so it was a very strong thing. And certainly, there was instead this feeling that we didn't want to miss. Waste any more time not being together. It was a powerful emotion. Excuse me.
Cristina dabs at her eye. In slow motion footage, teenage Cristina lays her head on her father's shoulder.
Giuliano called me and said her father was in the hospital. And then I got on a plane and I went to see him.
Madeline Renee.
The thing that really saddened me about Luciano was he felt cheated. He was madder than hell. He just married Nicoletta, and he was leaving her and their daughter alone.
In a photo, he kisses the blonde, preschool-aged Alice.
Our daughter was very young, was 4 and a half. And I always ask him, why don't you write something to Alice? And he said, no. Because if I write something, then she will stay with this for all her life, and she will not be able to speak to me. It's not right. She has to be free, completely free, you know? I don't want to impose anything, you know? She must be free.
Young Alice wears her father's hat and a scowl. In another photo, a cat lays across Luciano's shoulders. Ottawa.
I went to visit him when he was in the hospital. He was in bad shape. And when I arrived, he said, you're still beautiful, but you have put on 10 more kilos. And in fact, he was right, because when we first met, I weighed 10 kilos less than I do now.
Luciano and Ottawa, a young couple, dine together.
I prepared a dish of Neapolitan spaghetti for him. It was his favorite dish. I had to feed it to him. He was unable. He was in a very bad state.
A setting sun hovers on the ocean's horizon. Nicoletta.
And what about Pavarotti? The
man. As for Pavarotti, the man, I wish I had been a good husband, a good father, a good friend for all of my friends and people around me. What bothers me is the fact that perhaps I wasn't the father that I wanted to be. That's it. I also hope that you're always in love with me. And if you don't love me today, there is always tomorrow.
Luciano blows a kiss to the camera. He smiles. Luciano, as a younger man, adjusts a costume. Giuliana.
My father didn't like listening to himself singing. He was quite scared to hear his recorded voice. When he was sick and he could no longer sing, Cristina and I listened with him to a recording of a concert with John Woodsman.
Lord, have mercy. On my suffering self. On my suffering self.
He listened and said,
"Ero bravo."
But I was good.
Sai, proprio con stupore.
Yes, Papa. You sound amazed. Yes, you were good, Papa.
Canto bene.
But I sang well.
Veramente con stupore.
He was truly amazed.
Almighty God,
Have mercy, that I shall not be condemned to the eternal fire by your will.
A casket draped with sunflowers lies before the altar of a cathedral. Outside the cathedral, thousands of mourners. 9 jets fly over, streaming contrails of green, white, and red. Mourners follow a hearse through narrow streets lined with thousands more. In a portrait, Luciano wears a tuxedo and a wide smile. In another photo, a clean-shaven young man. Now a young boy with a toy guitar. An older Luciano, his somber eyes shaded by the brim of a hat. Fade to black. Words appear. As of his death in 2007, Luciano Pavarotti had sold more than 100 million albums and performed live for more than 10 million people. Luciano had built aid centers in Bosnia, Guatemala, Kosovo, Tibet, Cambodia, and Angola. His charities and foundations have raised millions of dollars for children in conflicts around the world. This work continues through La Fondazione Luciano Pavarotti. At the Baths of Caracalla ruins in Rome, Zubin Mehta conducts. Gazes heavenward, then closes his eyes and bows his head. Fade to black. Directed by Ron Howard. Produced by Nigel Sinclair. Produced by Brian Grazer. Produced by Ron Howard. Produced by Michael Rosenberg. Produced by Jeannie Alphonse Festa. Edited by Paul Crowder, ACE. Written by Mark Monroe. Executive producers David Blackman, Dickon Stainer. Executive producers Guy East, Nicholas Farrell. Executive producers Paul Crowder, Mark Monroe. Co-executive producer Cassidy Hartman. supervising producer Mark McCune. Sound re-recording mixers Chris Jenkins, Sal Ojeda. The producers wish to express their gratitude to Nicoletta Mantovani, Alice Pavarotti, Adua Veroni, Christina Pavarotti, Giuliana Pavarotti, Lorenza Pavarotti, and the Pavarotti Foundation for their practical support and encouragement in the making of this film. Audio description sponsored by Woman of Her Word, narrated by Michelle Spitz, and co-produced with Cliff Hahn.